Hello, all monsters. I'm your host, Faith, and this is Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. We've got Keith with us today from MK Horror.
Oh, neighbour.
Hello. Yes. Yeah, that is. You are literally a stone throw away from me now. It's a bit weird.
I can look out my window and see you, which is even weirder.
The joke about the Mr. Teabag incident.
Oh, God, yeah. That's we'd explain that, actually, that you said Mr. Teabag.
Yeah. We can see into someone's flat. There used to be a bloke that lived there that looked like he showered in tea bags. Because he was that kind of tanned. When you said, oh, yeah, I'm moving to your area, you said, oh, and I had to explain the Mr. Teabag situation to you. Because he just, it was weird whenever I had, like, locked eyes with him.
Yeah, it's like that, wasn't it a naked man in Friends or something? I remember there was a guy who was always walking around naked in the flat opposite.
Yeah, I still don't know that guy's name. It was always just referred to as Mr. Teabag now.
So, we're talking about underground horror films, subterranean horror films.
Yeah, just a lot of films where people go underground and it's just not a nice thought. I can't think of anything worse than going spelunking, if I'm honest with you.
I'm a bit claustrophobic myself, so yeah, it's not for me.
I'm not built for it.
Do you want me to go first with a film, or do you want to start us off?
You can go first. I'm curious about your list.
Okay, so yeah, I was thinking this one, it's an interesting genre, and I've picked out a couple of very similar, but I really like them, so I wanted to talk about them. And the first one I'm going to start with is actually one of my favourites of this genre, and that's Midnight Meat Train. It's a film by Ryuji Kitamura, and stars Vinnie Jones and Bradley Cooper, of all people. And it's based on a short story from Clive Barker's The Books of Blood.
It began with a photograph. A single act of unthinkable evil.
What happened?
I saw it.
Take your pictures to the cops.
I wasn't stalking her.
But you did continue to photograph.
These represent missing people for the last 3 years.
The only way to make it stop.
I followed them into the subway. He butchers them like cattle. They never find the remains because he unloads the meat somewhere.
Is to go for the ride.
I got a train to catch.
Midnight Meat Train.
Bradley Cooper basically plays a photographer who is obsessed with finding why people keep going missing on the underground trains. This leads him into the path of a serial killer, which is played by Vinnie Jones, who's butchering these missing people in beautifully gruesome ways. He is really imposing in the film as well, Vinnie Jones. He looks like a real beast. He doesn't speak at all as well, which is adds to the sort of menace of him. He works as a butcher during the day before heading to the subway to kill, equipped with a rather large meat tenderizer at night. It's a great film. It's really heavy on gore. There's a lot of lizard people in it, which is a bit strange. But yeah, it's a film that when I first saw it, and I think it was 2008 maybe, I just fell in love with it. And obviously I'm a Clive Barker fan anyway, so that helps. Have you seen this one?
I have. I've actually got it on DVD.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I didn't want to really go too much further into what happens in the film because you start to give some spoilers away because obviously the Bradley Cooper's character's obsession with serial killer does like lead on to really good sort of final battle as well. So it's really, really great film.
I enjoy it. It's one of those films that's kind of like, if you don't like the characters, at least enjoy the kill scenes.
Yeah, there's plenty of gore in the film, isn't there? I actually like the characters. I like the way Vinnie Jones' character is great. I thought he did played it really well, which is strange. It's Vinnie Jones, and obviously it's strange. I think it was an early film for Bradley Cooper.
Vinnie Jones, I can kind of understand him doing a role like that because a lot of films, he's a bit of a lad, or a bit of a loud mouth.
It seems really beefed up after this film. It looks like he's put on a lot of muscle to play this part. It is imposing.
The suit helps as well because he is quite a tall bloke, isn't it?
Well, he looks it in this film for sure.
I wonder if they did any behind-the-scenes tricks where he stood on like boxes or something to help with the height thing.
I think he was ex-professional footballer, so he played midfield, so yeah, probably a big lad anyway.
I always forget he used to be a footballer.
For one of MK Horror's favourite team, Wimbledon?
Oh, I can never get into football.
It's a big love of mine. Yeah, so if anyone hasn't seen this, I'd highly recommend it. What have you got saved up for us next?
I've got the one that you guessed would be on my list, the Descent, which came out in 2005.
Yeah, fantastic film.
I love it.
Dead animals. Hundreds of them.
This is not good, guys.
We get out of here.
Which way?
Come on. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
There's no breeze. It could be any one of these tunnels. Take your pick.
Oh, listen. Oh, fuck it. Hello!
Please.
Climb like that before?
I told you I saw someone!
That was not a human being!
Screw this! Let's take our chance and pick a tunnel! Move!
So the story is a group of friends go spelunking in a known cavern. Surprise, surprise, it goes wrong. It turns out they're not in the cavern they thought they were going to be in. And they find some weird cave-dwelling creatures that are humanoid. The monsters can see in the dark, they use echolocation, and they are very hungry.
Obviously, Neil Marshall film, it probably is his best one. Company of Wolves was good also. It's great, it's very like claustrophobic and comfortable in that way. The little dwelling things are a really good, cool idea for a creature.
I love the cast that he picked for them as well. I think with Neil Marshall, like, he actually gets on well with who he works with. Like, people actually, because he has like recurring cast members, doesn't he?
Yes.
In different films.
It's John Pertwee, tends to be in a lot of his films.
Yeah, because you've got the woman that played Sarah. There's, oh god, some of the cast members from Dog Soldiers are in the werewolf film that he did. Howl. Yeah, he did Howl. One of them played the train conductor.
All right, I didn't know he did Howl. I haven't seen that one.
I've got it on DVD. I'll lend it to you.
I think it's on. It might even be on Netflix now or something. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere.
I liked it. It still has that very, like, really good special effects thing with it. Like, gives me every one of his films, he's always had, like, really good special effects. So it's good that he's never, like, skipped out on that. When it came to like Dog Soldiers, The Descent, The Howl, and a film that he did that came out last year that's on Shudder, The Lair.
That's terrible. Did not like that film at all. There's a girl in about half an hour into it and I just turned it off.
I must go all the way through it. I kind of enjoyed it. There were times where I was kind of like, okay, then that's a choice. But at the same time, I'm like, right, maybe did they make this during COVID times and it made like production a bit more difficult for them?
It is, yeah. Very, very good film, The Descent. It's Neil Marshall's favourite film of mine. So, yeah, I knew you'd choose it because we spoke about it before. I don't think you'll have chosen The Descent too, though.
Oh, hell no. No. I liked how they ended the first one.
There's two endings, isn't there? There's a US ending and...
That's what I was going to talk about as well. Because the US ending is more of a positive note. Because apparently the UK ending is seen as too depressing for Americans.
So obviously, we can't say what the ending is. We don't want to give it away. Yeah, they cut off the very final thing that happens in the UK ending to appease American audiences.
Yeah, which I think is a bit weird given the things that are going on in America and yet that's seen as too depressing for that ending. And it's kind of like, some of the things that happen in the US, really? That's the thing that upsets you?
Yeah, exactly.
If you ever watch the DVD, always, like, look for the commentary, which is absolutely fantastic. Like, I always love listening to it. And the blooper reel as well. It's just hilarious, just funny to watch, and not the making of as well, like the things they did behind the scenes, those like fake bodies, which is really funny.
And I'll check it out. I haven't watched the commentary. I think I've got it on DVD myself,
so I feel like I've got part two in DVD, but I can't remember.
One you want to forget you've got if you do own it.
Yeah,
so yes, So for my second film, this is one, I don't know if you've seen this one, a film called Creep, that is set in London.
Hello? Hello?
Excuse me, fell asleep on the platform.
By Christopher Smith, who also did Severance and Triangle. Cold Open sets us up with two guys working a subway. One's being set there for drug dealing in a community work type of thing. They investigate like a broken wall that leads to another tunnel. One of the guys goes in, but the other remains. His head light touches, lights up a quick flash of some sort of creature or man. When he doesn't come back out, the other guy reluctantly follows him in and stumbles across. The guy who's been injured and he's looking up at someone beyond the guy that was just coming in, George, his name is. And then from the darkness, a woman emerges with a bloody face and an eye missing. So it's like really steps ramping up some sort of like nervous tension straight from a cold, a good, really good cold opening. Yeah, it's set in a London subway station where a woman, who's played by Franca Potente, is waiting for the last tube after party. With a bit to drink, falls asleep, and misses the last train, waking up to find everything locked up. She has a bit of a nightmare from there. There's an incident with a guy who's in there too, tries to sexually assault her, but is grabbed through an open door. She runs and she sees something is pursuing her. The film then goes on. It's this tale of a monstrous underground dweller pursuing this lady called Kate through the subway, and they have interactions with all characters also. Found had some interesting themes, like the class commentary. Kate is actually a really unlikable middle-class woman with a disgust for homeless people. She uses people throughout the movie and seems to think she can buy anything with money. It's a really unlikable character. I did really enjoy this film, and again, I'd recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it.
I'd recommend it too. Oh yeah, it's not to be mistaken with the other Creep movie that came out a few years ago.
Creep's great though as well, the other Creep, because there's Creep and Creep 2. That's a fan footage one.
Yeah, the creepy guy, that's what I'm saying. Oh yeah, I'm gonna die soon. I want my my child to sort of like get to know me.
Well yeah, no, it's a great film. Both of them are good anyway, so yeah.
Really enjoyed it. I'd definitely watch it again. There were definitely parts in it that kind of made you go, oh, that's not nice. That's not nice to watch. But at the same time, it's kind of like you can't look away.
Yeah. Agreed. Interesting to sort of have your main sort of protagonist as an unlikable person. Doesn't mean if you play off that. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't, you know, if I can't root for a character, I can lose interest in a film quite quickly. But yeah, it's different with this one. I don't know why it works. Just a commentary, I guess, a class commentary that they're trying to put into this.
The fact that she kind of actually works together with like people that like lower class to her, or has like or people that are homeless, she's actually working together with them. She's not like, she's not pushing them away because of it. She's like, no, I actually need help with these people. And it's nice to actually see them like working together, figuring out what's going on. And trying to escape. And in all honesty, yeah. The setting for it, the London Underground, when it's dark, holy hell. Oh yeah, it's terrifying.
It's a scary place.
It's going through all those tunnels, not knowing where you're going. I mean, it's bad enough when you're like trying to catch a tube, but trying to go through like the actual tunnels where the train track is and trying to work out how you get from like A to B that way. I can't imagine how horrifying that must be, and the amount of like hidden passageways there must be as well.
Yeah, it's not vacation I'm intended on taking anytime soon.
Oh, no. No, I don't want to explore anything like that.
So I think is that the first time we both picked the same film then? On any of these? I think it is.
I think so.
Interesting.
Impressive.
So what have you got next?
One that I watched recently called Underground, which was released in 2011. Available to watch on YouTube for free if anyone's interested. A group of friends who haven't seen each other for a while meet up at an illegal rave. Some of them get into a fight with other ravers, and the group of friends run off and get themselves locked into a building and don't realise, oh, we're actually trapped in here. So they try and figure out how to get out. Stumble upon a couple that are canoodling and not realise that the door had been shut, and they find out some other monsters are in the kind of like a bunker area with them, but they're pretty much experiments that have gone wrong. It's an interesting film. Do I recommend watching it for the story and the characters? No. I recommend it for the gore and the deaths as well, because that's what kept me going with it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I've not seen that one. I think I really didn't hear great things about it when it came out, so I just didn't bother watching it.
I mean, I commemorate it for the special effects in the film. I mean, they definitely put more effort towards that than they did with the actual character development. If you want to have a laugh at stupid characters, it's definitely something to go for. And some of the deaths are very creative. Like, there's, you know, the, what was it, like a, almost like a metal grate that you walk over to go from, like, in the pavement.
Oh, yes, yes.
Let's just say someone gets dragged across one of those and it kind of works as a, almost like a cheese grater on them.
Are you going to say that? I've just haven't seen that in Evil Dead Rise recently, a creative use of it. Cheese grater.
Yeah. I mean, I've accidentally caught myself with cheese graters on my hands before. I can definitely say it hurts.
It's not something I've done, but I don't fancy it.
Actually, yeah, I've still got a scar on my thumb where it took a chunk out.
Trying to grate the very end of the cheese, was it, or something?
Oh yeah, it was a block of cheese, and I kind of got too close to the grater.
Underground, then I've marked that down to have a look, because I'm always interested in creative deaths. And it's, you know, that can add fun to a film. Okay, so my next choice is one that I believe is available on Netflix at the moment, and I really enjoyed it when I watched it. I'm not going to talk very long on it because, you know, they give away too much about it. I don't want to really talk too much about the plot. But the film is called As Above, So Below, directed by John Eric Dowdle. Have you seen this one before I carry on?
I have. I think I got it on DVD, actually.
Okay. Yeah, it's a fan footage film, but it's a good one. I do like a good fan footage film when it's done pretty well. So a group of explorers, they venture into the catacombs beneath the streets of Paris because they're looking for a difficult philosopher's stone, which I think the main character, the girl, female character, her father had been looking for all his life and he died trying to search for it. This girl's found out that it's beneath the catacombs in Paris. So it's a stone which was supposedly discovered by a French alchemist. It is supposed to grant immortality and turns metals to gold and silver. At the end of this whole element, it mirrors a plot of Dante's Inferno. As with Dante, the group have to travel through the catacombs that have different stages representing the nine circles of hell, and they have to recognise their own sins in order to escape. It's really well done. It's a very, again, a bit like The Descent. It's very claustrophobic. It's very uncomfortable. Some of the tunnel scenes are really horrible. There's some of the scenes around, but I don't want to give too much away because you're given, I think it's one you want to go in a bit blind to, but like some of these sort of sin recognition scenes are great, and you know what happens in them. Basically, it's a movie all about redemption and faith, but and it's got a really good twist ending and a really great depiction of hell.
I enjoyed the film for what it was. It was definitely to me, it's a film of its time, but where literally every other film that came out was fan footage.
There was a period of that. This was one of the better ones of them, I thought.
Oh, definitely. They definitely put more effort into this one, definitely.
Yeah, it's a good...
I thought it was good characters, like there was decent development, and it had like the right amount of creepiness to it. The only issue, this is more of a me issue than the else, is that whenever they mentioned the Philosopher's Stone, I just kept thinking about Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. that is a big problem with it. But yeah, you could have called it something else, couldn't you? I don't know if it's based on something that was a real myth. I've never heard of it, so...
I kind of expected someone to turn around and kind of go, Harry Potter, but please no.
Yeah, it's You know, again, it's a film I'd recommend because it is interesting and you can watch it for free. Well, not for free on Netflix because you pay for Netflix, but it's available to stream on Netflix at the moment. What's the next one then, Faith?
Beneath, which came out in 2014.
Okay. I'd like to make a toast to the unclean industry that paid for your loss.
Well, 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 coal miner's daughter. You actually showed up, huh?
Gentlemen, we got a lady with us. Let's be nice today.
Anything goes wrong down there, you get her out.
A woman who is shutting down a local mine that dad owns because of health and safety regulations. She goes with her dad and his team in order to do one last mining expedition. And of course, it goes wrong. And they get trapped underneath. I love it. I really enjoy the film because I like the special effects. And the ending is a little bit ambiguous. And it's kind of like, it's the fact that you don't know pretty much, really, that there's like this, you don't know if the threat is supernatural, a result of like a gas leak, or if it's literally, or if there's someone down there with them.
Okay. I'm writing that down to check it out. I've not seen that one, so I'll make sure I do if you're recommending it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the special effects. They did well with like, kind of like, almost like the resentment between the dad and the daughter, because it's her job to like, close things down if it's not up to code. But he kind of is upset with the fact that really that's pretty much his life's work, so he feels as though she's almost taken that away from him.
Family issues in films is quite a common theme.
But mix it in with being trapped underground and not knowing when you're going to get out, a lot of things bubble to the surface. And so what's your next one?
Okay, so this is probably a bit of an opinion splitter, but it's a newer film in 2018, and it's Lars von Trier's The House That Jack Built. You've watched this one yet?
I haven't, no. I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
It does split opinion. It stars Matt Dillon as a titular character. He's a serial killer, and I loved him, and I thought he was great in it. It also has an appearance of Uma Thurman as one of his victims, as the movie flashes back to a number of his worst crimes. Lars von Trier does split opinions, so there might be people here listening going, that is a terrible film, you know, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I know 100 members of the audience walked out of the film in disgust when it debuted at Cannes, so that doesn't make you interested in seeing it, but nothing will. So, yeah, it's not a straightforward serial killer film, though. It's like As Above, So Below, before we've talked about that film, it is based on the same premise as Dante's Inferno. Jack is led into the Nine Circles by the Counselor, who's a character you meet early on in the film. The Counselor, whom he is recounting his evil deeds to, telling him basically, you know, his worst crimes. This is where Rick kicks in the flashback scenes. The literal descent into hell happens when Jack is on the verge of being caught. So there's a point where he's trying to kill off, I think it's 5 policemen with one bullet he's got left, and that's the fridge, and that's when he meets this Counselor, then starts leading him into hell. Because, yeah, obviously the police then burst through the door, you know, and start shooting. There's a very interesting, we should say, use of dead bodies. We're not in necromantic territory here, but it is interesting use of bodies that I've not seen before in a film. I really enjoyed it. It might not be for everyone, but it's good. And I really like the way it's shot. I really like the depiction of heaven and like the hell sort of Nine Circles. The game is great. And got this with it's got a really good ending as well. I'm not obviously gonna go at all, but yeah, this was a film that I really enjoyed, and it surprised me because I'd heard bad things about it.
I'd consider watching it. I'm a bit funny when it comes to like watching horror films where it's like the main basis is almost like religious sub messaging in films, so it just kind of puts me off for some reason.
Yeah, I know, I do. I like I think religion is one of the scariest things in the world myself, personally, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that makes people do and believe in works really well in horror, you know. Exorcist is one of the greatest horror films of all time, so I like sort of religious imagery, although it can be overused, and there's been a lot of films where it has been used in a terrible... Get the Pope's Exorcist of being one, the recent one, the, you know. So yeah, it can be hit and miss, I guess, but I enjoyed... That's a Jack Bilton, I would recommend it. And it is an interesting and different film. And Matt Dillon is great, and I thought it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. So what's film number four for you?
We've gone through the ones that I've actually seen. Okay. There's one that I want to watch, which came out in 2015. And depending on where you watch it from, it's either known as The Hoarder or The Bunker. So a woman and her sister go to an underground storage facility in order to empty out, I think it's their dad's like storage bunker because he's like died recently. So they need to like clear it out. And lo and behold, something goes wrong again.
Okay.
I think one of the sisters goes missing, and other people that are trapped within the storage facility have to help each other out in order to get out and survive the threat.
Oh, I've got to say, I haven't seen this one, so I can't really input for you, but yeah, I'll check it out and see what it looks like on IMDb. Imagine it's, I don't know, if I was having a rough guess of what was in a bunker, I'd guess like Nazi zombies or something that are always in bunkers.
Funny enough, no, it's not actually. I kind of like, I cheated a little bit and kind of looks into it just to see like, right, what could it be? But it's actually stars Misha Barton.
Okay. Written that one down.
Who was in... she was in the OC for like several seasons.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so my fifth and final film I'm going to talk about today is a newer one, 2019 anyway, and it's The Hole in the Ground by director Lee Cronin. This is a film that actually... Sam Raimi saw and chose Lee Cronin to direct Evil Dead Rise, which recently, because he loved this film so much. And it is, I've got to agree with him, I think it's a great film.
You know, when I was your age, I moved town once too.
You'll settle in, sweetie.
Maybe.
We're going to be happy living here, I promise.
Sweetie?
Never run off me like that again, okay?
Good morning, Mummy.
Where did you get those? Do you ever look at your kids and not recognize them? He's not himself.
Mom, look out!
It's not your boy.
It's an Irish folk horror starring Shauna Kearsley and James Cromarty. About a mother notices son's personality has suddenly changed after he disappeared for a time. She suspects he's fallen into the sinkhole and was replaced by an imposter. It sounds silly, but this is backed up by hearing a story of a sort of, inverted commas, crazy woman who thought her own child was replaced by a doppelganger and later killed this child in an accident. The film's really good. It's like a subtle approach for the first hour. It plays on Sarah, the mother, paranoia as she spots a subtle change in Chris, who's her son, behaviour. Things like he's not able to remember a game they used to play, and he's suddenly not afraid of spiders anymore. That creates a subtle first hour, but then there becomes a big twist reveal, which I'm not going to talk about in any way. And the movie has a great final ending involving the descent style journey into the sinkhole. I don't want to say much more about that, but it's definitely highly recommended. And as I say, Sam Raimi saw this film, chose Lee Cronin as a director for Evil Dead Rise, so that's a pretty big show of approval.
You know you've done good when you have like someone as big as Sam Raimi literally going, I want you to do this film, I want you to do the next legacy for this film franchise.
Especially when it's, you know, the Evil Dead franchise, it's one of them franchises that hasn't got a bad thing in it. I don't think there's another franchise that has literally not got a bad film in it. You know, you've got Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Then Evil Dead Remake was great. Evil Dead TV series, Ash vs. Evil Dead, was just fantastic. And yes, so it was a big, you know, big job to carry that sort of quality on, and he did a great job with Evil Dead Rise as well, I think.
I liked his style, but it was kind of like, it had a good amount of style to it. The actors did a fantastic job, and it's the fact that it looked dirty. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's like, it looked a bit grimy, like the thought of being in that character situation, it makes you feel
ugh. If you haven't seen Hole in the Ground, it's highly recommended. It's probably my favourite film on the list of films I've given today. Sorry. Yeah, it's really a really good Irish sort of folk horror story.
I mean, I've got a couple of films that is kind of like, okay, that there's bits of it where it's like underground, but it's not like the main thing.
When I was thinking about this, I couldn't think of loads and loads and loads. I thought I was going to put The Gate in from 1987, I think it is. The sort of where there's like a gate of hell on underneath the house and the monsters come out and stuff. But it's more, why does, you know, something down there below, but a bit like on the ground, I guess. It's not all set in underground. I was going to talk about Shud, which is an absolute classic, which is Shud stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Monsters, I think it is. And it's I think I can't remember what either. Shud came out in 1984 or something. Cheesy little, very fun film. And we got Buried as well, which is Ryan Reynolds, buried alive in a box. The ultimate in like is being buried alive. Phantom of the Opera, set underground as well. Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly underground, isn't it? Because, you know, it's in the sort of basement of the umbrella building. A film called The Pyramid of Saw, which, you know, I just mentioned it because I was thinking of other underground or subterranean horror films. What Waits Below, Outpost again as well, another Nazi zombies. Mimic, which is a good film as well. But yeah, it wasn't one that, you know, I could think of loads and loads of, which is quite unusual. Interesting subject.
Yeah, I gave you a bit of a challenge this time.
You'll always find a film that you've liked in any genre of horror, I think, because I'd be able to bring something to the table, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's that people listening to this car going, why the fuck don't you mention this one?
Yeah, well, that's always happening. As always with this, when I get off, and I'll go sit down in a bit and make a cup of coffee or something, and I'll be like, oh, I didn't think of X film. And I'll be texting you later going, I forgot to mention this. And it's easy done. You know, only really sort of started preparing for this yesterday, so, you know, there's bound to be stuff that I've missed out.
There is actually a game that came out recently, like a demo for it. Yeah, so a YouTuber called CJU Games released a video recently of a demo for a game called Dungeon Crawling. So in that game, you literally play as a knight and you literally have to crawl through like the under tunnels as if you're doing a dungeon crawler. So it's like a side scroller, so you have to go through and try not to get caught by traps or different monsters in there.
Sounds interesting.
It was definitely different. I literally watched it like, you know what, it's a weird concept, but I really like this and I like the style of it as well. So I would recommend, if anyone likes games, look for that one, Dungeon Crawler. And it's, you have to choose at certain points as well, like if you want to go left, right, up or down.
Sounds interesting.
Which underground scenario would be like your least favourite to be involved in? For me, it's the descent.
Yeah, just the idea of stuck in a confined spaces underground. It's just, yeah, nope, not for me. Yeah, I'd done that, you know, I'd never go cave, hive at all, spunking. You'd never catch me doing that in a million years. Maybe on a computer game.
I find the word spunking quite funny.
Yeah, there's actually a game I was obsessed with called Spelunky 1 and 2. Yeah, but I don't mind playing doing it on a computer game, but not in real life, thank you.
Nah. I'm quite happily being above ground and exploring there. Going underground where things can collapse, you can get stuck. Depending on if there's water in there or not, you could drown. There's been quite a few videos of people getting stuck and then like water suddenly getting in at them. And just, oh God, the thought of people just like getting lost as well. And it's like, it's just why? Why was this a thing? Why did you go somewhere that wasn't mapped and you weren't prepared? It just weirds me out and it just scares me.
Suicide attempts, suicidal.
Yeah, people enjoy it, obviously, thrill-seeking.
Yeah, I mean, if you enjoy it and you're actually prepared for it and let people know where you fuck you're going, it's fine. It's when you don't do any of those things and kind of go, oh, it's not going to be that bad. Like, mate, you're going underground. You can't see fuck all. This isn't going to end well for anyone.
Oh, it'll end well for me because I wouldn't be going in the first place.
Nah, I'd be like, I'd just be waiting at the top, kind of like, if I hear screaming, I'll call for help.
It's the nearest pub. Yeah. I go in the basement to the pub, the cellar.
Yeah, that's probably the closest you'll ever see me get to like, spunking. It's kind of like just sitting in the basement somewhere, like, yes. Yeah, I can't think of any other ones. It's annoying. I can think of ones where it's kind of like I mentioned earlier, where it's like some of it is like underground or in like basements and tunnels, but having a film that's like 80% set underground, it's a bit like...
I just thought of one actually, because I made my list as well, because it's great. See, that's this one. Well, at least I've got it before we get off the line. There's two actually. There's
Do tell.
In Cloverfield Lane, which was the John Goodman film where they're in like a bomb shelter.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it just came into my head now, and I think, and also Nightbreed as well, which is a big film for me. I nearly forgot that because most of that's underground in Midian. So yeah, that could have easily been an underground subterranean horror movie. You can argue Hellbound, Hellraiser 2 is as well in a way, but probably wouldn't count that. I'd probably put that into some, I don't know, demon category or something. I don't know where I'd put Hellraiser as a genre. What else? There must be more, I'm sure. Obviously, there's Descent Part 2, which, oh, Tremors, but they're not really underground, they're not above ground, the monsters are underground.
While I think about it, I've actually announced recently that I'd like to do more stuff on Patreon. One of them is talking to people and going through different franchises, watching each film in the franchise. Would you like to call dibs on Hellraiser?
Absolutely. You're going to make me watch them all, though. You'll regret that.
Well, I've heard some horrible things about the franchise as a whole, and it's kind of like, yeah, you know what, we can suffer together.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Obviously, I want to talk about Hellraiser. Okay. Because, yeah, it's my favourite, of course. Yeah, you're going to regret it after number three. We'll tear your soul apart. You might get along right with number three. I don't like it because it jumped the shark on me. It's like the Hellraiser series. But, yeah, that'll be an interesting one for me to do for sure.
So, if I can find the films, I'll watch them with you at yours. And we can sit there and we can cry together and eat popcorn and drink coffee.
Yeah, we'll start doing a Hellraiser night then every week. I've got most of them here.
Yeah, I've got lots to say about the newer one.
Shall be interesting.
So where can our lovely listeners find you?
Yeah, MK Horror, we're on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Just search for MK Horror, I think it's MK Horror Club for Instagram. Yes, and we do monthly films at the Crawford Arms and quarterly films up at the MK Gallery, the Skyview Centre in the MK Gallery. So you can also sign up for our newsletter. We haven't sent one for a while, but I'll get back on that at mkhorror.com.
You're doing Predator this coming weekend.
Before we go for the fun, massively dripping in testosterone, 80s classic. It's borderline only horror because it's probably more sci-fi, but still Predator I would count as a great horror character because it just looks so cool. So it's sort of that sci-fi horror crossover, isn't it?
I was actually thinking it's more muscle worship pornography.
There's a lot of testosterone. There's some problematic uses of words as well because of the 1980s. Use the F word for describing something. So yeah, like still great fun. It still bangs as a film. The Predator's one of my favourite characters ever. Effects for 87 are great.
When Jo saw that you announced it, she was really excited because she's never actually sat down and watched.
Oh, fantastic. Well, she's looking forward to seeing it. And you can't not enjoy Predator, can you? Because it's just so over the top and fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's just so quotable as well.
Very quotable.
Ugly motherfucker.
A fantastic episode as always. If you enjoyed this week's episode, make sure to share it on your socials. And if you would like to help us, you can always rate and review our podcast wherever you hear it. You can also help out by joining our Patreon for £3 a month. For that, you get credited in each episode. There's also a bonus episode. You can recommend movies for us to watch. And you also get a personalised thank you message for being supportive to this podcast. You can do that by going to patreon.com/caffeinatedmonsters. And if you'd like to update your wardrobe, you can always go to our merch stores as well on Redbubble, redbubble.com/people/caffeinatedm/shop. If you would like to, we also have a Spreadshirt store as well. If you'd like to go to caffeinatedmonsters.myspreadshop.co.uk. You can always find us on Instagram, Facebook and the Slasher app as well.